Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Broadcasting Corporation of Japan with studios in Radio Tokyo, opening its daily English program in the overseas fourth transmission. Radio Tokyo is operating in the 41, 25, and the 31 meter bands. At this time, approximately 6:01 p.m. on Monday, Tokyo time, or 9:01 GMT, Greenwich Meridian time, we present the fifth English news session of the day from Radio Tokyo. The Japanese Governor General of Hong Kong was announced by the Cabinet Monday afternoon. His Imperial Majesty the Emperor received in audience Lieutenant General Rensuke Isogaya at 4:30 o'clock Monday afternoon and appointed him Governor General of the occupied colony of Hong Kong. A tripartite military agreement was signed yesterday at Berlin by Japan, Germany, and Italy. The Imperial Headquarters announced in a communique issued at 3 o'clock this morning, Monday. The communique declares that new pact stipulates the guiding principles for joint military operations against the common enemies of the three high contracting parties. The pact was signed on behalf of Japan by the proxies of the chiefs of the Army and Naval General Staff, on behalf of Germany by the chief of the General Staff of the National Defense Army, and on behalf of Italy by the representative at the headquarters of the General Staff of the Italian Forces, the communique declares. Significance is attached to the conclusion of the present military pact among Japan, Germany, and Italy, as further strengthening the three powers' alliance. It will mark a new page in man's history for assuring the construction of a new order in the world for which these three countries share common responsibility. The full assurances of cooperation in prosecuting the war of Greater East Asia was obtained from eight of the nine past prime ministers at a conference held with the Premier, General Tojo, and naval members of the cabinet as well as the fighting services. The gathering, which was the first since October, witnessed the presence of Prince Fumimaro Konoe, Baron Nikichiro Hiranuma, Admiral Mitsumasa Ionai, General Nobuyuki Abe, Mr. Koki Hirota, General Senjiro Hayashi, Admiral Keisuke Okada, and Baron Reijiro Wakatsuki. The only other surviving past premier, Count Keigo Kyoda, was unable to be present owing to illness. Premier Tojo outlined the course of the present war, while Navy Minister Admiral Shimada reviewed the activities of the Japanese Navy, and Foreign Minister Shigenori Togo explained the nature of the alliance entered into with Germany and Italy. The meeting was culminated with a lunch intended by Premier Tojo. This is the Broadcasting Corporation of Japan continuing with its news session. The Japanese Naval Air Force carried out their 16th and 17th long-distance bombing attacks upon Singapore on Friday and Saturday, respectively, shooting down 10 Buffalo planes in aerial battles and destroying 7 Blenheim and 1 Lockheed planes on the ground at Tenga Airfield. It was announced in an official communique issued at 3:30 o'clock this afternoon. A part of the Air Force effected a surprise attack upon Semborong Airfield, setting on fire several large planes and an enemy hangar, and simultaneously shooting down one fighting plane, the communique added. From an undisclosed base in Malaya, Japanese mobile units, which on Friday entered the city of Bonjan Besar, situated west of Johor Bahru, Malaya, have captured further enemy strategic positions in a region east and south of Banjang Besar after 3 days of fighting. The rising sun flags are now seen over the former positions of the enemy, not far from Singapore. The front line in Malaya, the steel cordon encircling the enemy infesting Johor State, was shortened as a considerable progress was made in Japanese pincer movements against the British defense line. Japanese mechanized corps on Sunday successfully cut off the retreat of the fleeing British troops, who vainly offered resistance against the driving Japanese forces towards Singapore. In cooperation with armed forces, crack units of the Japanese Air Force have effected fierce attacks on enemy positions in Johor State. 15 planes of the enemy, including the Buffalo, Lockheed, and Blenheim Turks, were shot down by the Japanese Army flyers over Singapore. And 7 Malaya during Sunday, it was announced by the Imperial Headquarters Monday afternoon in a communique summarizing the activities of the Japanese Army Air Corps. Close on the heels of Saturday's air raid, powerful squadrons of the Japanese Army bombers and fighters penetrated over Singapore at 1:30 o'clock Sunday afternoon and severely bombed the important military organs in central Singapore, destroying and setting fire to many oil depots and a military base south of Sembawang. Meanwhile, units of the Japanese fighter planes which participated in this air raid fiercely attacked more than a dozen enemy Buffalo fighters which tried to flee from Singapore and immediately shot down 10 of them. Other Japanese army fighters also met with 5 enemy Buffalo fighters over northern Singapore and shot down 1 enemy plane. A partial unit of Japanese fighter planes, which had been in cooperation with the Legrand force in their pursuit operations, at 9:45 a.m. blasted 2 Blenheim fighters and brought down 1 near Malacca. Further on, at 2:30 p.m., the Japanese plane sighted 2 Buffalo and 2 Lockheed bombers of the enemy flying over Malacca, and after giving hot chase, shot down for certain 3 of them, 2 Lockheeds and 1 Buffalo bombers, in the air over Singapore. The total result of the war achieved by the Japanese Army Air Force during Sunday was 15 enemy planes shot down, of which 3 were bombers and 12 were fighter planes. Saigon. The Burmese government announced Sunday that the Japanese Air Force is conducting successive air raids on Rangoon, Maumee, and the Mandalay. Mandalay, which was subjected to the Japanese bombing for the first time, is a military and traffic key point in central Burma. The British High Command in Burma announced Sunday that railway facilities in Maumee were subjected to severe Japanese air raid and suffered considerable damage. This is Tokyo calling, and we continue with our news session with a report from Lisbon. Large formations of Japanese bombers and fighter planes again inflicted devastating bombing raids upon Amboina, a chief fort in the Molucca archipelago that was admitted by military authorities of the Netherlands East Indies Sunday. A Batavia dispatch reported Sunday. From the front on Bataan Peninsula, with close cooperation of Air Corps, Japanese land forces are crushing stubborn American resistance in the mountainous district of Bataan Peninsula. Retreating to the advantageous positions, the enemy are making the last struggle against the Japanese, who are making a steady drive to annihilate their American remnants. Day and night, the Japanese are continuing their fierce bombardment on the enemy, the dispatch reported Monday. And next, a war front from a war front in Malaya. As a result of recent large-scale encircling campaign in the Slim sector of central Malaya, British troops taken prisoners by the Japanese forces has reached more than 1,500. And here's a special announcement, announcing the special prisoners' broadcast. Radio Tokyo, through the facilities of the Broadcasting Corporation of Japan, will inaugurate a special broadcast to be made by the American prisoners of war starting tomorrow for the benefit of their families in the United States. The first of the series will go on the air on January 20th over the second and third transmissions at the following hours of Greenwich Meridian Time. 23 to 23:30 hours GMT. 20 to 20:30 GMT. 3:30 to 4 GMT. 5:30 to 6 GMT. And 6:30 to 7:30 GMT. We will repeat the hours again. The first of our studies will go on the air on January 20th, tomorrow, over the second and third transmissions at the following hours of 23 to 23:30 GMT, 20 to 20:30 GMT, 3:30 to 4 GMT, 5:30 to 6 GMT, and at 6:30 to 7:30 GMT. The series will include prisoners from the Wake Island. Members of the families, relatives, and friends are urged to listen in to these messages. Remember, the war prisoners broadcast will be heard after the news bulletins from Radio Tokyo. So be sure to tune in tomorrow to Radio Tokyo. We'll continue with a news session from Radio Tokyo with a dispatch from Saigon on the activities of the Japanese Air Force in Dutch East Indies. According to a report from Singapore, received in Saigon, the Japanese Air Force Friday bombed Pano in western New Guinea Island and heavily damaged two Dutch East Indies merchant vessels. The Japanese bombers operating in the Borneo sector also attacked Dutch military transport ships off the coast of southern Borneo and heavily destroyed two of them. In the meantime, a report from Melbourne states that a unit of Japanese Air Corps attacked Rabaul in New Britain Island for 6.5 hours on Saturday. Nick from Lisbon. A Melbourne dispatch indicates that the British military establishments at Rabaul, a northern tip of the New Britain Island, were again severely bombed by Japanese bombers on Sunday. The dispatch added that the powerful Japanese warplanes dive bombed the targets of Rabaul for as long as 6 hours. This confirms the report from Saigon. From Stockholm, the London press have been unanimously declaring that the British Parliament has deadlocked upon its reopening of the session because of bitter criticism and of investigation of the responsibility for the British defeat in East Indies. The London correspondent of the newspaper Kagan's Nihatar revealed that Representative Granville would make a motion for suspension of the session if Winston Churchill refused to discuss the war situations in East Asia in order to shift his responsibility. Lisbon. The return of Prime Minister Churchill to London after about a month's stay in the United States is reported to have been enthusiastically welcomed by the London citizens. Not because of the outcome of the Washington Conference, but because of his safe arrival in Britain. Meanwhile, President Roosevelt is reported to have been greatly rejoiced when he received a telephone call from the United States Ambassador to Britain reporting Premier Churchill's arrival in London. This fact itself tells the present naval power of Britain, which one boasted the domination of the seven seas, to say nothing of the Atlantic. Next from Berlin. A report that the British cabinet reshuffle is approaching. With a return to London Saturday of Premier Winston Churchill, the rumor of a cabinet reshuffle seems to have taken a more concrete shape. According to a London dispatch by way of Stockholm, Prime Minister Churchill is considering a change in the cabinet. But in view of the unexpectedly strong cessure of the claimant toward the government's responsibility, it is observed in some quarters that a mere cabinet change will not satisfy them, and Premier Churchill himself will be requested to resign. This is reliably believed in the same quarters. Thus, it is reliably believed in the same quarters that the cabinet will resign en bloc. The Churchill government today is confronted with a series of charges for the successive defeats in the Asiatic front. Some of the outstanding charges being leveled by the press and general public are as follows. The Malayan campaign has exposed glaring negligence in its defense that is worse than the defeats at Dunkirk and Crete, particularly in view of the government's optimistic reports, leading the public to believe that the fortifications were in... amazement voiced by the defense command over the activities of the Japanese tank units in the jungle area. Why were Japan's military and economic power so underestimated? 6. Why is it the complete silence now shrouds the progress of the fighting around Singapore? Why were the American radio commentators prohibited? Are not these an exposure of negligence in the early stages of the war? 7. Are not these gross negligences attributed to the fact that the British people in Malaya were solely concerned with eking their own profits from the rubber and tin outputs? Certainly life at the clubs indulging in good liquor is no means to attain the defense of Malaya. These are the complaints now being laid before the leaders of the London government. You are listening to the news session released from the Broadcasting Corporation of Japan in Radio Tokyo.
We'll continue with the news.
From a Japanese base. Japanese Army bomber formation Sunday carried out a fierce bombing raid over Nanning in Guangxi province. The Japanese forces have been achieving on all fronts in Malaya, the Philippines, and other areas. A Chungking military spokesman publicly declared that the British in Malaya have completely lost their fighting spirit, and that there is nothing left for them but to keep retreating before the blitzkrieg operations of the Japanese. Meanwhile, all Chungking papers urgently demanded the dispatch of reinforcements from Britain, and reported that in the event Japan gains control of Malaya, she will make a reverse use of all economic measures that had been applied to Japan by Britain and the United States. Berlin. In view of the city's shortage of wheat, from which India is now suffering, all orders of wheat and flour in India have been ordered to report their findings immediately to the authorities. A Delhi report intercepted in Berlin stated Sunday. Berlin. With a torpedoing of a second vessel off the shores of New York within the past week, has increased tremendous fear among New Yorkers. The New Yorkers are afraid that at last the war has come closer to home. A New York report received in Berlin by way of Stockholm revealed Sunday. The second sinking of a vessel, their report stated, occurred 75 miles off New York Harbor. Nanking. Mr. Francesco Maria Taliani de Macchio, the newly appointed Italian ambassador to China, at 11 o'clock Monday afternoon, proceeded to the national government of the Republic of China and presented his credentials to President Wang Qingwei. Dr. Heinrich Stammer, new German ambassador to China at noon Sunday, was also received by President Wang Qingwei and presented his credentials to the chief minister. Nai Direk Chayanam, newly appointed Thai ambassador to Tokyo, at 11:30 o'clock this morning, Monday, proceeded to the Imperial Palace and presented his credentials to His Imperial Majesty the Emperor at the Phoenix Hall at 11 o'clock. Later, the ambassador and Mrs. Barrick were graciously received by Her Majesty the Empress at the Paulownia Hall.